بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A few days ago, we were speaking about Mona Abdul Rahim Sab Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. He once stated, now it's a time, that however possible, get people to take the name of Allah Ta'ala, whichever way. Difficulty is, if they are taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practicing the entire Sharia or not practicing completely, whichever way, but get them to take the name of Allah ta'ala. So this was his take, it was his analysis of the situation. On the other end, you get a person like Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he is quite strict. Everything must be in order. See that any Shari principles is not breached and broken. See all that. But Maulana knew about this. He knew about Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, but he did not oppose him. He did not say that what he is saying is wrong, what I am saying is right. Rather, he says that myself, I am like a guard for these senior Buzurganadin. He is the senior, I am the security, and then you go on to the senior. So I will act as a security so that these senior Buzurganadin don't go through any difficulty. They learn what is right, what is wrong. They learn how to be an insan, how to be a human being, how to conduct yourself, so that these people here, when you're conducting with them, they are not going through any pain, difficulty and problem. But if they were not disciplined and corrected and they just came on straight, and obviously these people have to bear the brunt of it. So therefore, myself, I go through a process where I correct them step by step, correcting them, seeing that they are coming on or not. Once they come on, then they go to the senior people and they can benefit from them without causing any harm to themselves nor to these seniors. Then he related an incident. Says that one person came up to take bayat at the hands of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So Maulana wouldn't just accept anybody straight. That was his way. And Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that was his sheikh, then his way was different. Anybody came without much delay, not that no delay, but without much delay, he would accept him. And Haji Sahib would say, there can be one of two situations. Either the murid is liked by Allah Ta'ala, or either I am liked by Allah Ta'ala. One of the two. Either he is liked, he is accepted, right? Or either I am accepted and I am liked. If he is liked, and because I was a support, an encouragement for him, so inshallah he will intercede for me. But on this, in the case where I am liked, then I will intercede for him. So based on that now, from he's looking at it from this dimension, that based on this, both of us will gain. If I take him on, he will gain or I will gain, both will gain. So therefore I don't delay the process, I do it quickly. On the side of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he says, no, I need to screen these people, check them up properly. Because they may be led to thinking that this is sufficient and we don't need to correct ourselves. Make some zikr, make some Quran Sharif tilawat, and then they may be led to thinking that no, what we're doing is sufficient, we don't need to rectify ourselves. And in the process, they may hurt themselves, they may hurt others. So this will not be good. So hence, one person comes to the Muwatthami Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and Mawlana asks him, whilst he's requesting for bayat, so Mawlana asks him, aapke paas kuch morusi zameen bhi hai? Have you got some properties, etc., that is interstate, it has not yet been divided to the respective heirs? Bahut si hai, lot of land I've got properties. My control is not yet been distributed to the respective heirs. So Mawlana says to him, what you do? You go back, and whoever are the right recipients, go and give it to them. He went. Now, had Mawlana not corrected it, for example, just accepted him for bayat, assuming him to be a right person, good person, now he would have thought to himself, what I'm doing is right, I'm eating someone else's wealth, or I see the Sheikh just accepted me. He didn't ask about this, so this is not a serious matter. So Mawlana is looking at it from this perspective. It mustn't be that he brings problems for himself. Later on, in the akhirat, he's got problems for himself. In this world, he's hurting someone else. So Mawlana would say that, see, many a time he would say that, buzurg banna ho to kahin aur chale jao. When you become a buzurg, go elsewhere. Albatta, mere paas aate ho to insaan bano. Come to me, come learn to become a man. And the essence of being a man is not to hurt. Learn how not to hurt. Not to say that I did this unintentionally or I didn't know about it. Learn how to be a man. In which case, how are you going to be a man? So to be a man, now you have to learn, understand what hurts people, what pains them. Mawlana is already aged now. He's about over 80. And he's in his final illness, right? And sometimes he's getting some dizziness and he falls, right? So this is happening. So some late hour of the night, Mawlana needed to go to the toilet. So he went. So in India, I know when we were there, it was also about the same, that the water is not in the toilet. See, like how we have the water in the toilet. So you have to take the water, get into the toilet, wash yourself, and then the jug is left in one central point. Right? So if the second person wants to go, then he knows where to fetch the jug. He goes and helps himself, and he returns the jug at the same point. So Mawlana has gone to the toilet, and on the return, he had a bout of that dizziness, chakkar. He just collapsed. Right. And he got up, so he realized already he collapsed. He got up, and slowly he made his way to the bed, without getting his family up or disturbing her in any way. So, right, I got up now. Now, I don't need her to come and assist me and cry over me. Of what help? Is it going to help her in any way? Is it going to help me? She is sleeping beautifully, nicely. Why must I disturb her sleep? See now how they are thinking. He's aged. He collapsed, so he must have hurt himself slightly. Right? Right? He didn't ask for any type of help immediately, any type of attention, like vix chori karo, zambak zara chori karo. No, she didn't ask for that. See how to make yourself a man. Understand. To intend not to hurt. Not to say I did this unintentionally, but intend not to hurt. Right. So if you got that policy, then wherever you go, you'll be a liked person, you'll be a lovable person. This person doesn't hurt. So if you're talking to him, then he selects his words, right? What's the words that he's using? He's not going to use a word that's going to be hurtful. All right, where he has to say something, he'll say it. But where he can avoid hurting the person, he will avoid. So why must I unnecessarily hurt the person? If I can accomplish the work, I can do the work without hurting you, then why must I hurt you? Some people, sometimes, they misconstrue the saying, قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرًّا. Speak the truth even though it's bitter. So that's right, speak about the truth even though it's bitter, but it doesn't say make the truth bitter. I can tell you, see, this is this is the right way. This is the right way, and this is not right. I can tell you this much. But the same day I can tell you, but boy, you're mad. You know what you're doing. You've got the brains. You're donkey. I can tell you the same thing, right? But I can make the truth bitter. And the other way is to say it to you, but politely, but this is the right way. This way we don't know about. This is the right way. Once I was in Bombay many years ago, I should take the boys, you know. So before the route was through Bombay, then to wherever the Khanka used to be. So now, in Bombay you should stay at the Merkaz, Khoka Wali Masjid. So I stayed there about 2 days, 3 days. I think on the second day, some person came and said, there's a janaza, can you lead the janaza? I said, all right, led the janaza namaz. So now they want a dua. So I said, no, I don't know about the dua. Can you accompany us to the Kabristan? Yeah. Did everything in the Kabristan. Now they want a second or a third dua at the Kabristan. I don't know about this. Right. So there was no commotion. The namaz was finished. The mayyat was buried. Afterwards, the man, I think, who lost his father or whoever, he came and asked, but is this second dua and all this thing, is this right or not? I said, no, it's not right. So why didn't you tell us at that point? You know, here, there, it was a whole jamaat there. Right? And that whole jamaat, I do not know their understanding, they are not understanding who they used to, who do they take their guidance from, I don't know. Right? And I explained them at that point, perhaps they would have not digested it. Now you're asking me one-on-one, and I know the person now, I see how gently you're speaking politely and gently, so I can't explain that to you. And there, I said, I don't know it, because I don't, what we learned, this is not from what we know. So I didn't speak a lie. I don't know about it. I could have said, hey, people are doing bidat, haram. You know what you're doing? I could have said that. But now, the same thing has to be said, but the right way, in a way that is acceptable. Once in the top masjid, when I just came from India, you know. So, I used to have a session of Besti Zivar, Masail, adult classes. I tell Mo Ismail, let's have these adult classes. And the reason for the adult classes is, the people that we are teaching at the maktab level, right, obviously they need to be learning the right things at the primary level. So they will grow up to be good people. But from the primary level, they're learning all wrong things. Nobody is guiding them. Obviously, they'll go wrong. So from the primary levels, their thinking is right, their beliefs are right. So it's going to be difficult to shake the beliefs. So anyway, so after that session, then there used to be a question and answer, Q&A, right? So one person now, I know the person, quite heavily involved in Bidat, Urus, and Milad, and Agyarvi Sharif, and everything involved, very heavily involved. Now, after everything is finished, now he asks, Mona, what about 40 days, you know? How is it, how's the 40 days? Now, in the crowd, there are people that are jamaat, there are people that are on his side, and people that don't know anything about this. They just know must do it. Everybody doing must do it. So there are those that know it's wrong, those that think that it's right, those that don't know anything. Three types of people. Now I'm making dua. Now, how must I explain this person here when I got a mixed crowd like this? So Allah Pak put one example in my mind. This was now 1980, 82 or 83, maybe some other time. So I asked him, say for example, your son is gone for Hajj, right? And he lost his finance. He lost his money. At that time, passing the money was a little bit difficult, not so easy like today. So he lost his money. He's going for Hajj and he lost his money. So, are you going to send up the money to him after 40 days or immediately? So when I explained that to him like that, he said, "Main samajh gaya, I understood it." I understood the whole thing. You don't need any further explanation. Because after the 40th day, the Hajj will be over, he'll be back onto the flight coming back. Right? So he needs it immediately. There's no point in dealing. If you want to convey sawab to the dead person, then do it immediately. He needs the sawab now. As he's going to the grave, he wants a good reception, he wants it to be warm, he wants to be hospitable, he wants everything to be pleasant. So the sawab you're going to make, the dua and maghfirat that you'll make for him, the dua that you'll make that Allah keeps him with stability at the time of the interrogation, and this will help him. But I'm making dua for him after 40 days, after he caught it nicely, then kya fayda? Then do it straight away. So, no, somebody, I understood it. So to explain the same thing, but not mincing the words, is also important. Not making the truth bitter, but say it in a way that the person's heart just accepts it, receives it nicely. So you have to do that. You have to learn how to do it. That is why it's important for new ulama, people that are learning, sit down, explain your conditions, give a report of how's the working in your area. Then your ustaz that are senior, they have seen life, they have worked with people, they've got an understanding and they can correct you. It may be a situation where the ustaz may have been firm at some situation. Right? In some circumstance, he must have been firm. Right? Now, you saw the ustaz being firm in some situation and you want to apply that firmness. Maybe it's not right. The ustaz knows why he was firm in which situation. Right? There was a situation, and in that situation, he was quite firm. So why he was firm, he knows. And once, one person, I stopped him from giving azan. Very beautiful voice, very, very beautiful, very nice voice. And I stopped him because he was shaving his beard. But the voice was too smart, too catching. You know. In spite of me stopping him, he insisted he wanted to give azan. A big well, but in the azan, I just stopped him. He got very offended, he came with all his people, but I told him not to give azan. Why did he give azan? He's an old person, he knows it. I did explain this to him, but he was stubborn. Right? And to appoint someone to give azan like that is not right. Because in the Shari terminology, the person that is shaving off, he's a fasik, because it's a sin, and it's a sin that is done openly. Right, it's an open sin. Right, and a muazzin is like a witness. He's witnessing to the time entering. Right, see, the muazzin calls azan, and straight away we break our fast, don't we? So he's as though he's witnessed the time entering. Right? So the witness that is appearing in court, he must be sound. There mustn't be any flaw in him. Now, if openly he is committing a wrong, then that goes against his credibility. His credibility is gone. So how can he be standing as a witness? So I stopped him. After that, I see the beard came up slowly, slowly. So that one shot was quite, it worked. So now, if someone sees that firmness, and he just applies it straight away, he doesn't know the circumstance. When he doesn't know the circumstance, that he wants to go and imitate and apply. My ustad did this, I must do the same. Akabir ka tariqa. So that he didn't learn the whole thing. You learn the whole thing, you know, all right, here I need to apply firmness. Okay. So all these things come, and they come gradually. But now we want to understand the thing straight away. We saw half, we understood quarter, and then we would apply 1/8. So phir kya hoga? Nuksan hoga. Look at the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? So one person is leading the namaz, and he spat on the wall of the Qibla. This is the Qibla wall. So he spat on that wall. Right? So this is one case. And Nabi Sallam was very much disturbed. Right? And to the extent that he said, that this person, لَا يَأُمَّنَّكُمْ أَبَدًا, he must never be imam. Nabi Sallam's Mubarak face changed. Red. Red. That he must never lead you in namaz in future. Then there's another person, he comes into the masjid. So he takes one corner of the masjid and he urinates. So the Sahaba Kiram are very much upset. They want to go and stop him straight away. Don't stop him. Don't stop him. And after he had finished, the Nabi Sam asked the Sahaba Kiram to clean the place up, etc., and then explain to him that this is masjid and what are the do's and what are the don'ts. The masjid is a place of respect, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't do these things here. But he spoke to him in a different way. And this person here, Nabi Sam says, he must never lead you in namaz in future. You see the chalk and cheese difference. Spitting and that urinating, what's worse? Urinating is worse. So why did Nabi Sam have this approach to this person and that approach towards that person? See. Now, if someone didn't see both these situations, then he won't know how to read the situation. But he's seen both, now he needs to read it, he understands. Alright, this person that was leading the namaz, the masla is, the one that leads the namaz must be learned, right? Must be learned. That's on the sequence of preference. How do you prefer the imam? He must know, he must be muttaqi, etc. He's leading us, so he must know the masail. That's why the madrasa will find that we'll rather put a person from the final year, or the iftar year, or the fifth year, to lead the namaz, because by then he's gone through all the masail. So he's gone through all the masail, he understands deen, understanding is better, so the chances for him to make a flaw is less. So therefore, he will prefer him to be the imam, because he knows the masail, against the person that is in the first year. Maybe his voice is very good, but he hasn't gone through the masail, doesn't know about deen yet, though his voice is good. But he doesn't know, he doesn't have an understanding. So we will say, just hold, until you come to the fourth, fifth year, then we will put you forward. See? So now, this person that is leading namaz, obviously based on the same reason of preference, he messed it up. He supposed to be having understanding of deen. When he's supposed to be having the understanding of deen, then why did he behave like this? He's supposed to be understanding that this is the Qibla, and the Qibla is supposed to be respected. And if there was a need to spit, then how do I spit? What do I do? He's supposed to be knowing all these things here. So that is an impression, it creates an impression that he is careless. He's not concerned. Just do anything roughly. So then, if he is careless, he's not careful, then he can't be leading namaz. He must be careful of what he's doing. He's conscious of what he's doing, right? So such a person will be appointed as an imam. Person that is not taking cognizance, he doesn't understand, he doesn't have any concern and fikr, then we won't appoint him as the imam. This person that urinated in the masjid, and Nabi Sam asked them not to hurt him, not to tell him anything that was impolite, etc., not to stop him, that for multiple reasons. One is this, that this person is a villager, he doesn't know. For the first time, he came to the masjid. He doesn't know what is a masjid. He's thinking, you know, like my home now, we just go and urinate. They don't know. We haven't seen village life. Because we don't know village life, therefore we don't know, we can't appreciate this. Like if you, even up to recently, I don't know now, now India is also very modernized, right? But I know when we were there in India, like you'll find the child wants to urinate, for example. Right? So the floor is made of mud, right? Actually, in the depth of the village, you see the floor is made of mud. Right? It's not like our concrete floors made of mud. So a child wants to urinate, sorry, sit down, just urinate, carry on. And they just still cover it with dust. So they carry on. They're walking on the floor, they're working on the floor, they're doing everything else. But it's done like that. Now, they don't know about it. They don't have that level of paki, napaki, understanding of purity. They don't have it. So that if someone understands that village life, that he knows the background that he's come from. Right? When you understand the background, then you know how to work with the person. But you don't know the background of the person, then you don't know how to work with him. Islam is not only for the person that is coming from an urban background, sophisticated, but for all people, all walks of life. That person also must come into Islam. He must also get into Jannah. And this person also needs to get to Jannah. But now we need to educate this person, need to educate him. But now look at the background that he's coming from. Because of his background, he did this. So he didn't do this because he was careless, because he was disrespectful, because he was negligent. No. But he did it as per the background that he came from. So we corrected him. So that was the one reason. Right? The second reason is, say for example, if the Sahaba Ikram had stopped him urinating, right? So if the urine is coming from with force, it can't be just stopped straight away. You see that fire hose? You can't squeeze, you can't stop that thing. It's coming with a force. So if it's coming with a force, you can't just stop it. Now they stopped him, he's going to get up, right? When he's going to get up, then before that urine was concentrated one spot, now he'll hose the whole masjid. They'll be chasing him and he'll helter-skelter. In that commotion, he'll be urinating this side, urinating that side. The whole place will be messed up. So Nabi Sam asked him, but don't stop him. Let him finish. So the one place is settled, is impure, clean that place up, wash it, clean whatever you need to do, clean it up. And now you'll save the whole masjid from. And number three, the third reason they give, is that also, if someone is urinating, and is urinating with force, right? He's urinating with force, and you stop him abruptly, then you can cause other problems for him. He's coming with force, and you just stop it straight. Like a motor car that is going at 250, and you put dead brakes, won't it affect the brakes? It affects the brakes. So same, you also got a brake within you, and you use it incorrectly, you're going to cause a problem for yourself. Like how, you know, you want to throw up, you want to vomit, and you're holding it. You think you're doing good to yourself, rather you're causing a problem for yourself. So same with the urine, that thing is coming out, and it's coming out with force, and you're holding the thing, it's going to cause problems. You're going to get other complications. So now, Mullah should say, bhai, insan banna ho, to come here. Come here with this frame of mind that you're learning to become a man. And the reason is that, kam se kam, jab bahar niklega, to kisi ko iza aur takleef nahi pahunchayega. When he'll go out, then he won't hurt anybody. See, today, that article that he read before Zohar, right? So, Mustab ended the whole article. This is the criteria for reaching is husne amal and husne akhlaq. I don't know if you remember. Huh? What? Husne amal, good works and good character. That's the criteria. So that means, like you work towards improving your actions, you have to work to the improvement of your character, your ways. What is character? How you deal with people, how you talk to them, how you work with them, how you live with them. So like improving your action is important, then improving your character, your ways, your behavior, that's also important. To think. In Dalam Dioman, there was a very great Buzru, Mia Azhar Hussein Sahib Rahmatullahi. All of privilege to go to him for dua. So, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi used to go to him for duas, for help, assistance, etc. If he didn't understand something, then he would consult and refer to him as well. So, once Mufti Shafi Sahib sees that some late part of the night, Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib is going to his home, maybe an hour after Isha, not the usual time, a little later. So as he comes to about one, two doors before his house, he removes his shoes and he's tiptoeing, and then he comes to his house. So Mufti Shafi Sahib is quite curious now, why did he do this? That he removed his shoes one, two doors away, one, two homes away. One is one story, but one is Mia Asghar Hussain. We were on Asghar Sahib here also. So he talks about those days, right? People were very careful, very, very spendthrift. So some people now, some school teacher shows, in that zaman, 1960s, 70s, when money was tight, right? So he's coming to school, on foot he's coming to school. So just before he comes to the town, you know, he puts on his shoe. And again he comes to the wilderness, he takes out his shoe. And then he goes home. So my soul doesn't get worn out. See, they're so careful, right? But now this is something else now. But why did he do this? He wears the shoes all the time. But he comes to this point, then he removes the shoes and then he enters the home. And then, but what was this for? So Mufti Shavisa was quite informal with this ustad here. I said, why did you have to take your shoes out? A very great alim senior. He said, no, first I tried to brush it off. Then he insisted. Second time, the third time. By the third time, he said, no, I have to tell you because you're insisting. You see, in the neighborhood, there's a loose woman living, right? This home here, it's a loose woman living. And she will normally get her clientele around this time of the night. Right? And now, I don't see people coming to her. Perhaps she's aged, so I don't see people coming like they used to come previously. Right? Now look at the consideration. Now, if she hears some footsteps on this direction, she will become very apprehensive. Hey, koi ghar ka aavej, someone is coming. She'll come very enthusiastic, right? Someone is coming. And then she knows, hey, that he came and he went away. It'll break her, right? It'll break her. So why must I cause it, the taklif? Now see that level of consideration. See, insan burn now. If you ask, hey, listen here, I'll break this person here. Report to the police. Get out of this place here. That's how we have. So there's a way, these people also need to be corrected, but there's a way to correct them as well. They also belong to the ummah. When they belong to the ummah, then how do we work with them? So Mawlana says, insan banna ho, tumhari haan jao. I ask you, if people are like this, they have such a high level of consideration and respect, will there be any problems in the world? Such level of respect, so refined. Living in Dioman now, it's like a little bit of a village, right? But so refined character, ways, mannerisms. Will there be any problems? So we're coming back to this story. So Muasim says to that man, get up and go. Leave. Go and get that estate, all that right. Go and distribute everybody whose shares. And then you can come. He goes to Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib and he takes biyat and he reports this to Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullahi. See, I came to you, you stopped me. Very blunt. Some people are very blunt. They don't understand. No, you refused. So what say if you refused? I went to him, I got my biyat done. Now, it's being blunt and brazen. So what? Explain to him that did you tell him that you've got this type of land? Did you say this? Interstate land. Land is not yet divided. Did you explain that to him? No, I didn't explain that to him. He said, well, Buzugana Deen don't have to be Ali Maghrib. They don't have to get kashf all the time. Sometimes they got it. Sometimes they didn't get it. But it was your duty to explain that to him. Did you explain that to him? That's your problem. So he said, Mawlana says to him, then you see, you go and correct this, rectify this. Me and Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib, both of us are one, like one person. When we are like one person, then this is wrong of you to conceal this information from him. It was wrong of you. And I just asked you off the cuff, okay, you got any type of land interstate? And you did explain. Mawlana didn't ask you, perhaps he couldn't understand that. When he didn't understand that, he didn't justify what you were doing. But it was your problem. You needed to go and refer this to him. Now you are holding that land, or there may be an orphan, there may be a widow, there may be poor people, etc. And you're just enjoying their wealth. So is that the right thing what you're doing? So many people's curses you are earning every day. So Mawlana says, all right, see what you do. Until you didn't rectify this, don't come in. Now he had to have that hard stance at that point. Why? To save others from his cruelty, from his injustice, others must be saved. So now if someone just saw this picture, Mawlana said, get up, move, don't come back here. Will he get the whole picture? He will not get the whole picture. He didn't understand the whole thing. He just say, Mu'ayyah is very hard. But someone seen the whole thing from the beginning right till the end, he understand, all right, he did this, he corrected him, he was supposed to be going to correct himself, come back again. He didn't follow the step. He didn't follow the procedure. Right? So if someone seen the whole picture, he'll understand, he'll appreciate it. So the essence of the tasawwuf is these two things. One is to see that your deeds are right. One is to see that your deeds are right. Whatever commands, etc., commands, prohibitions, that's deeds. And number two is to see that the character is right. Character then refers to the inner self. Your character is right. Your ways, mannerisms, your speech, your interaction, your socializing. So all this refers to your character, right? So both have to be corrected. For you to progress in this path, you have to correct both. Right? And generally, a man cannot rectify himself unless he is very, very careful. He's very careful, cautious, he'll bring about a change. Mullah says, an easy way to get this right is two steps. He says, ta'ammul and tahammul. The easy way to get some direction, that before you say anything or before you do anything, before you take a step, then think, what is the short-term consequence? What is the long-term consequence? Must I do it? Mustn't I do it? Right? Think of all these things here, then you take a step. But now we don't see all these things here, and then now we have to jump. Then you're going to hurt someone. Right? Someone has got a car for sale, right? So you are his neighbor, for example. And he didn't sell the car to you, he sold it to someone else. So now you want to spite him, you want to hurt him. You spited me, you didn't sell the car to me, you want to sell someone else. I'm your neighbor, you know I need the car. Now you can't give him the full story. The full story may have been that person there is giving me more and is giving me cash. And you, I know how you work. I know how you work. You'll give me a little bit now, and then you'll give me after 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. You'll take a whole year to pay me. This person is giving me cash. But if I'm going to tell you about the whole story, you'll feel hurt. You won't be able to swallow this. Who told you I'll delay? You'll give this type of story. But now from your track record, he knows the type of person that you are. Or maybe it is that person that I'm selling, right, he's my close relative. Or it may be that he is more in need than yourself. You may be a motor car dealer, right? And that person is a broken down Johnny, he needs a car desperately. So who is the better recipient, better client, you or him? Now, he can't give you the full story. But now just because he bought it, therefore you built a grudge for him. Now, that's why Mullah says, think first. Think. Socho. There may be 101 reasons why he did this. He took the step, why he did it, understand, think. He's got some good reasons, valid reasons for not doing this. Now, you want to take that long step, one shot, one go, and then you cause the damage. But if you think, you understand all the different possibilities, all right, this must have been one possibility, this was second possibility, third possibility. So you're thinking about it and you won't have any grudge for him. But you don't think about the possibilities and straight away you want to attack the person. The thought that came to your mind, you just bought that thought and then you want to get at the person. Man is now, he's defenseless now. He doesn't know why you're so angry with him. Or you know, you feel that he's not going to listen to your story. What are the two that happen? Either he's not going to listen to your story, or number two, he will become absolutely against you for no reason. But you see this ta'ammul, think, understand. You have to correct the situation, you have to do things, you have to continue with life, but don't take a step without thinking. Thinking short term, long term. This morning I was talking about marriage. Now, you are married to an attorney, for example. She's giving you two children. You married her for the looks a little bit, for her style, and for being so smart. She's an attorney. She knows how to conduct herself. And after 2 years, you discovered, when you got two children already, after 4 years, you discovered that she's playing around with someone else, And now and then she's sipping wine as well. Now, in the meanwhile, you got two little good-looking darlings you got. Now, can you see the quandary that you are in? And can you break up easily? Is it easy to break up? She knows the law. She knows how to play you. Right? But that quick step, I'm basically married with this person here. You just jumped at it. Now, after 4 or 5 years now, you don't know how to rectify this thing. So they say, ta'ammul, first thing, understand. So in our deen also, we say, it comes to marriage, they are elders in your family, your parents, your elders. If your parents are not of that level of understanding, the other elders in the family, maybe your grandfather, uncle, speak to them, they have a joint family sitting, all right, you need to be fixed up, you need to be... So they will sit jointly and think. But now I just seen the person and I am in love with the person. You must just get this thing done. And then when you have problems, you'll come back to them. Won't that happen? So that's why I say, ta'ammul. First, think about the consequence, short term, long term, think about. You see, these two steps are very, very effective. You think, understand, reason. And if you can't understand and reason yourself, then there is someone, it's related to your father, for example, right, or your ustad, and you don't have the heart to speak to him directly because of the nature of the problem, then someone that understands him and is close to him, very close to him and understands him, and you can talk to him freely, talk to him. So he'll try and explain that to you. So your mind will clear out. But now you're not trying to understand it yourself, not explaining it to him, not explaining it to someone else that can understand your father or your elder, and you're going straight for the kill then? See this, ta'ammul. So they say, think, understand, short-term, long-term, consequences, what's going to happen, will I handle it, won't I handle it? Now, if you think, if you jog your memory, then you'll find a lot of situations. You got married, right? You're happy now, after 4 or 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, your wife gave you 3 or 4 children, so she lost her original shape, right? Now you saw someone smart working for you as a secretary in your office, and now she's giving you some smiles and all that now. And now you come and say, but Mullah, isn't it permissible for me to take a second wife? See, isn't it permissible? See how he's worded himself, how he's phrased him. But Islam advocates, he doesn't talk of all the mercy that he did. Straight. So you say, by again, ta'ammul, think. See, you got 3 children here, and you got a wife. Can she manage this? You're getting so much of comforts at your hand, so much rotis, garam rotis, and naram botis you're getting, right? All that. Now, she spoiled you so many years. Now, she'll say, all right, it's not my duty now. Not my duty to give you garam rotis and naram botis. Enjoy yourself from the fridge. Right? Can you handle that? If you can't handle it, nobody's going to say that this is haram or it's makruh or it's incorrect. But you can't handle it. You don't have the level of enduring. So that's what Mawlana is saying, Amul, understand. You're just going to take this step here. Now, she may just gang up with your children, with her family. They will just disconnect you, alienate themselves from you. You can't handle it. So do something what you can manage. But you can't manage, say, I can't manage this. But why do you put yourself into that problem? Why do you allow that secretary to be so close to you? Chase out. You're going to do it in your own office. Let me work in my own office. You allowed her there, and then now you got attracted. When you got attracted, now you don't know where to put the brakes. See, this ta'ammul. So the one step is ta'ammul, and the second is tahammul. That you know, all right, this is not the right thing. So to put the brakes is a little bit difficult. So you need to endure. You need to endure. This is tempting, it's appealing. But if I don't endure, I'm going to land up in problems. In this world, in the hereafter, I'm going to land myself in problems. So you will first think about consequence, short term, long term. And then you'll understand also that for me to live a smooth life, I'll need to endure. Right? I need to endure because there's going to be a little bit of difficulty. I know my heart is craving for this, but I have to just hold it. Right? Although my heart is craving, my heart is there, but I need to just hold back myself. But after that, after you have applied that level of endurance, now you'll find the happiness. But it just came in your mind, you just did it, now you're waiting for the bioscope, waiting for the tamasha, all the drama to happen after that. And then you can't handle it. Then you're referring to ulama, jamiat, mulana, that one there, why she's doing this, but it's my right, you know, and she's my wife, and she must give me all the comfort that she used to give me. See that the runaround. The runaround that you get after that. So therefore, Mawlana has proposed, think first. Think, and thereafter, based on your thought, you know you have to undergo some pain. So have the heart to endure. And inshallah, in most cases, 90% of the cases, you won't have problem. Allah Bakhtu Fi Sabil.